Welcome to RC Hangar Time, a podcast dedicated to the radio-controlled aviation hobby, where each week, our hosts discuss everything from airplanes to helicopters and everything in between.
Okay, let's restart.
Whatever you are.
Okay, let's do this.
Sweet.
46, right?
Oh my god.
Alright, this is episode 46 of RC Hangar Time. We've got
73
DJ and Dustin with us. Wade is not here today. He's failed to mention that he wasn't going to make it today, so
screw Wade.
Just us three today. So who wants to start us off and talk about what they've done this week?
Hey Dustin, let's hear from you, bud. What's going on, Broken Wing?
I am no longer Broken Wing, man. I feel 100% better.
You will always be Broken Wing.
I actually put the wing to the test. I went up to a local reservoir called Pine View Reservoir, and I took my quads with me. And I was going to do some FPV, but by the time we got there and I got set up and I got everything ready and I got my screen set up, the people were just moving in on the beach. And so I didn't do any FPV. I just did line of sight, but I still set the FPV stuff up so that my friends could watch the screen. And I kind of just stood on the bank, and we had a couple of paddle boards out there. So I took the quad out by my kids and spun some circles around them so that I could catch them on the GoPro. They thought that was pretty cool, and they were out there goofing around. So I did quite a bit of quad flying and played on the lake and just had a good time. Tried the paddleboard myself. Broken Wing is now healed. I'm good to go.
Sweet.
And other than that, I built a plane for Mike to take to a fun fly, which I'm sure he'll tell us about. But that's kind of what happened to my wing. I built some planes and flew my quad. How about you, TJ?
Just flying my quads. That's really been my biggest thing. Kind of winding down on all the flying and RC stuff with the surgery looming now in about 7 days. So, but I'm getting things lined up so I can do a bunch of building and get some new things built, some quad planned. And I've got about like 10 sheets of foam from Dollar Tree the other day, so I plan on doing some foam building.
Nice.
And really, other than that, that's been about it for me. It's been a very light week.
That motor set you bought for your quad looks pretty sweet.
Yes, yes, yes. I bought the E300 from DJI. It's then about the hex set. It's mainly I'm using it for a quad for that frame that Wade supposedly has shipped to me last week. As Mike says, I should be wary of that. So I'll see if it comes in or not. If not, I'll get me. No, I know it's coming. He shipped it last week. I went ahead and got the six motor set because I know how I am with things. That way I'll now have two spares. So I'll have two spare motors, two spare ESCs. And I've not ever really been big on DJI, mainly because of the Phantoms. But, you know, they're... The other stuff that they have is pretty impressive, and especially their bigger quads. But these, the E series on their tuned propulsion systems, the E300 and the E600, and they did it right. This is pretty nice little setup. So I can't wait to get it on the frame and get that thing flying.
Yeah, I might not like the Phantom, but I'm a fan of everything else. I'm a fan of their controllers. I've had a set of their motors. I've had a set of their ESCs, and they all run sweet.
Yeah, TJI makes some awesome stuff.
I'm looking forward to it. Now, the one thing Wade is sending me with that frame, a KK2 board. So I've never used. It'll be my first experience with a KK2. So I'm looking forward to also getting to play with that and learning how to set it up. It says it's pretty easy, so.
I can send you some links, and I could actually share those with the listeners. That there's a guy, his name's Don. He goes by, I think it's DNH Racer or RC Manchild. He did a whole series from like start to end on how to set a KK2 board up, how to set your gains, and all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah, I'll definitely need that. Now, the one thing I do wish, though, KK2 had, or give me, let me know if I'm wrong, but there's no GPS with KK2, correct?
No. Yeah, you're going to have to go to a multi-Wii or an APM or a DJI to get something like that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But, you know, my Blade has GPS, and well, we all know how well that works. So, but, all right, but that, other than that, that's what's been going on with me. I'm just getting everything squared away and ready to go. So I can start my first part of the process of becoming the new bionic man with my replacement knees.
Nice.
Yeah, sounds like fun.
Looking forward to it. I'll tell you what, I can't wait. In all honesty, I can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the day where I can, once I crash a plane on the far side of the field, have the club that I can actually walk to it and walk back without wishing I had a wheelchair or a hover around.
Yeah.
Nice. And Mike, I know you had a pretty eventful weekend.
Yeah, I've been busy. I had our local combat fun fly, I guess you'd call it, up at the Farmington field here. They had the Bloody Wonders out there, and they were doing streamer cuts with them, and they had some wings out there and doing combat for wings, and I had got rid of all my wings from when I moved out of my apartment and everything, so I asked Dustin if he had anything, and he came up with a couple wings for me to borrow and was able to go out there and attend the event. And when I got out there, I took my T-Rex 700 with me, of course, flew about half of a gallon worth of flights in that thing, and I think I got that thing about dialed. It's hitting pretty good, and it's flying really good. I did have a kind of scary moment for a minute when I first got there. I, started it up and checked all my, my fly barless system and checked all my controls, made sure everything was moving the right way, and stepped back. And as soon as I went to spool it up, everything just shut off, and the motor was still running.
Oh, geez.
And I was like, what's going on here? So I walked over there, and luckily it was just still in idle. It didn't spool up or anything. It just, as soon as I stepped back, everything just stopped. But I went up there, pinched the line, killed the motor, and checked, and I had no power to anything. And I moved the wire for the receiver wire on the flybarless unit, and it came back on. So that wire had came loose from the vibrations. So I took it over to the bench, and somebody had a hot glue gun and put some hot glue on the wires in the flybarless unit, and I flew half a gallon through it with no issues since then. I'm just glad that it happened at idle instead of being in the air. Then it would have really sucked.
Was that the same problem you had at our fun fly here?
Yeah.
When you were out there?
Yeah, it was. And the thing is that I went through all the wiring, rewired it, checked all the wiring for bad wires and everything, and thought that everything was good to go. And I guess that wire isn't sitting inside the icon very good, so it's really loose. So I put some glue on it, and seems to be holding good now.
Nice.
But other than that, I didn't have a Bloody Wonder, but after seeing them do the streamer cut with the Bloody Wonders, I'm definitely ordering a couple of those and doing that again. We've got another fun fly up there. Their actual club fun fly where it's open to everything. They're going to be doing the Bloody Wonder streamer cut again, so I'm going to have that ready by September to join in on that, because that looked like a blast. But I did the full combat with the wings. There was only three of us out there with wings doing full combat, so there was only like one little hit in the air. So nothing too crazy. But my fiance and her son came with me, and her youngest son is 10 years old, and he had mentioned that he wanted to fly something out there, so I found a trainer cord and another radio to borrow, and I let him fly the big wing that Dustin let me borrow. So I set that up as a trainer and took it up there and let him fly that around too. So that was pretty neat experience for him. He seemed to like it.
Nice.
Kind of got into trouble there He got inverted, and I tried to pull out and ended up into a fence. And I got it all on video because the GoPro was on that plane.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All I want to know is how he got that 48-inch wing inverted, because I never even tried.
I don't know. I watched the video, and it rolled over so fast. It was really weird, and I pulled it. I don't know if it was just what he was doing or if just something came – if that servo horn came off, because I noticed when I went to go get the plane, there was no damage to the plane. Just some of the hot glue came off where the GoPro was mounted. Mm-hmm. But the servo horn or the linkage was off of the servo horn. So I don't know if that was what caused it, if that just came off in the air or if that came off during impact. It's kind of hard to tell. I'll get that video posted this week and let you guys see that.
Okay.
But it was kind of funny. You know, he was kind of all bummed out and, you know, sad that he did that. And I was like, it's not a problem. You know what I mean? Things happen.
I love that 48-inch wing. It was definitely a fun build. I've put a lot of time on it, and it thing screams. I mean, when it comes in and you're doing a low pass in front of you, you hear it.
Yeah, both of those wings flew awesome. I had a lot of fun with them. It was really awesome. I'm glad that you let me borrow those. I appreciate that a lot. It was awesome.
Yeah, no problem.
We had a lot of fun at that fun fly. I can't wait to do it again. Now I'm going to have to go order me some of my own wings to do some combat and some more trainer stuff with him, because he sounds like he's pretty interested in getting into flying.
Cool.
So that was my weekend. This week there's another fun fly that I'll be attending, so taking the helis out, and I got to get the 550 going this week and take the 550 and the 700 out to Price and join their fun fly out there on Saturday.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and then after that, I've got a busy month. After that, the next weekend, I've got another fun fly to go to, and that one is in Montana. Can you guess which one I'm going to?
You told me, and I can't remember.
I'm sure you told me too, but I never listened.
TJ should know. Wings for Wishes.
I was just going to say the Wings for Wishes. That's always a great one to go to. That's a great thing.
Yep. So I'm excited for the next couple of weeks. It's going to be busy.
Did you get a t-shirt?
Not yet.
Get one. Give me one too. 2X.
Right. Will do.
And I'll send you the money for it. Or I'll have Wade send you the money for it.
Right. But other than that, that's all I've got. Should we move on to some news?
Why don't we?
All right. Lead us off, TJ.
All right. Leading off with some news. As usual, every week I like to give some shout-outs to our fans on Facebook, people that post. I've got two this week. First one, I want to give a nice, huge shout-out to Scott Hatch. I actually posted earlier today. He posted the question, who loves 3D? He does, with an awesome-looking plane at 30% that he put on his post.
Yeah, that Fontana.
That Fontana. That's a sweet looking plane too. I like the colors. And well, I was going to say there's absolutely no green on it, but there's a stripe of green on the wing. So, but that's a nice looking 3D plane.
And he said that he's running that a two stroke in that with 30% heli fuel.
Yeah. Oh, it is 30% heli. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting.
That is very interesting. But seems to work for him. Or hopefully it works for him. But that's the first shout out. Second one is, as always, with his ever smart tips for in RC. This one is a RC tip for something non-RC. I thought it was quite hilarious. But Barry Knight has found a new purpose for a propeller. And it seems to spread peanut butter quite well on crackers. So, you don't have a knife available, grab a prop.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Let's make some PB&Js.
Hopefully that prop was new and not covered in gnats and mosquitoes.
Well, one of the comment that he said, my crackers taste a little like castor oil. Uh-oh, be right back.
Oh, it did, didn't it? I see that now. Yeah, that that could be that could cause some issues.
Yeah.
For you and the
I'm going to share that in the fan page as well, so that others can see it.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely.
Not in the group.
Cool.
I would definitely do that. A couple other things, just some new products coming out that I've seen. I always like my Ultra Micros. I haven't actually bought my Ultra Micro in a little over a year, but Horizon keeps cranking them out, and they've released or announced the release here soon of their Ultra Micro Spacewalker. I don't know if you're all familiar with that old Spacewalker airplane from years gone by.
Yeah, no, maybe I'm thinking of the Skywalker. Is it that same style wing over pusher?
It is no, it's a tractor. It's a low wing, and I will drop you guys the link, but also we'll make sure we put a link to this thing in the show notes as well. But I believe it's pretty similar to that. But it's an old open cockpit. I want to say it's from like the 1930s, 1940s. Aircraft, but it's neat to see their ultra micro series. Not always warbirds. I love warbirds. Always have loved warbirds. But like their Piper Cub that they first came out with was really cool. And this was kind of along the same lines. It's, you know, just a civilian aircraft. It was used with, you know, air shows and stuff. And they've got the little fake engine cowls on it, or the cylinder heads on it. And the design is it's pretty good looking.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I just looked it up. It does look cool.
You got it?
Yeah.
And the other one, just to keep Mike happy, they should be releasing really soon the new Blade 450X in bind and fly and ready to fly.
Awesome.
Packages. So if you're looking for a new 450 with some updated features and good flyability, because Blade's always been pretty decent quality helis for me anyways. The 450 will be coming out, the new 450Xs. But as for news, that's all I've got this week. I don't have anything else.
I've got one.
Okay.
And this has to do with the FAA interpretation. And I know we've talked about this like a million times, and it's pretty hot comment. But as of July 25th, the commenting period ended, and there was about 25,000 comments posted on the regulations.gov page.
Right.
And that kind of hit me kind of hard. I'm thinking, you know, there's 170 AMA members alone, and how many people are in the hobby that aren't AMA members?
170,000, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry, 170,000. Yeah.
Yeah, 171.
You know, that didn't comment. But the FAA has extended the commenting period until September 23rd.
Right.
So if you didn't get a chance to make a comment, or you were unsure about what to comment on, I'm on the page right now. It looks like we're up to about 29,700 comments. You know, take just a couple of minutes. Just you know, be respectful, but just pour out what's in your heart about the hobby, you know. Even if you're not an FAA, or I mean an FPV pilot, you know, Obama's now coming out. He wants the FAA to make regulation on drones. I read today that now they want to classify any aircraft carrying a camera, that you'll have to have separate regulations just to carry a camera, because it's not a part of the airframe.
Right.
I mean, if you don't think this is just going to make the whole hobby worse, you know, I hate to say it, but I think we're thinking too positive. Yep. We need to make some comments. We need our voices heard. We need people to go out and just, you know, share how they feel about the hobby, so that we have a voice. So if you haven't commented yet, take the opportunity. I'll make sure Mike has the link to the interpretation website, so you can submit a comment. If you're not sure what to say, there's about a million people out there that have written gigantic form letters that you can take apart and, you know, take what you like out of it and help you word things the way you want so you can make sure it gets out there. But let's do our part. Let's share how we feel about our hobby, protect it.
For sure.
Yeah, this is real important.
Because it's not going to affect just FPV flying. They're trying to affect everything. I mean, it could affect sponsored pilots, you know, that are flying.
Oh, it affects sponsored all heli pilots,
sponsored
hobby.
Plane pilots. I mean, huge. It could affect huge events. I mean, it could affect a lot of people. So we need to make sure that, you know, we're doing our part and voicing our opinion on that so that we still have a hobby.
It could it could affect R&D for companies building planes and building products. Could mean that they have to take their operations overseas where they can test fly their new planes legally. I mean, it really could affect just, you know, more than just us going out and flying.
Yeah, right. And what was the deadline for the new commenting period?
The new deadline comment is September 23rd. So they've extended it, you know, quite a bit. I think that's another 60 days is what they extended it. And I know a lot of people that I fly with didn't go out and make comments. So, you know, I'm going to do my part to make sure my friends know that they should make a comment also.
Right. Sounds good. I have some news as well.
Oh, wow. Mike with news.
Right.
That's huge.
It is huge. When I have news, it's huge. Better listen up. Okay, RC Hangar Time news. We have brought back the RC Hangar Time forum. You can find the forum at rchangartime.com/forum. You know, we brought that back hoping to get a more user interaction from our listeners. I know that not everybody uses Facebook or prefers to use Facebook, so we decided that the forum might be another venue to bring some people on and get some more interaction between our listeners. And, you know, while we're doing the forum, we, you know, Dustin, he's a web guy, so we're looking into revamping the website as well. So it is more up to date and more user friendly and also be more interactive, too, for our listeners and our fans. So if you guys check that out, that'll be awesome.
I was number 2 on your registered list.
Awesome. Oh, man, that means I'm going to be number 3.
Number 4. I already saw there was a number 3, too. So.
Yeah, you're number 4.
We're number 4.
Better hurry and get in on it while you can at the, you know, ground level and help build this thing up. It's going to be awesome.
So get registered, guys. Get out there and register.
For sure. All right, should we move on to our main topic?
Sweet. Let's do it.
Yeah.
You're listening to RC Hangar Time. Please help support our show by going to rchangartime.com and clicking the donation tab. Your donations help keep the show running each week. And be sure to share this episode on Facebook or your favorite forum. Thank you for your continued support and enjoy the rest of the show.
All right, this week we're going to talk about scratch building. If you haven't heard, we've talked about doing a scratch building contest in our Facebook group. And we'll extend that to the forum as well once that's up and running. What we're doing is, you know, just a little scratch building contest, a scratch built plane. We're going to have them judged on, you know, paint, cleanliness, how they fly. You know, we're going to judge them on all aspects. And we're going to come up with some kind of prize for the winner of that. So this week we're going to talk about, you know, tips and techniques of how to build a scratch built plane, where to find plans, what to, you know, what kind of tools you're going to need, etc. So, who wants to start us off? Who's built the scratch plane out of us?
Well, I have.
You have?
I've done a few.
All right. Let's hear what you got. What are your trade secrets? Because I need all the help I can get to win this contest.
Yes, you really do. But see, I don't know if I want to help you because I want to win the contest.
Oh, man.
So I know there's a couple of people that probably should not be allowed to partake because their building skills are far superior of
not to mention any names, but Mike Castillo.
Yeah, not to mention any names. Yeah, his building skills are far above, I think, most people's. But there's a
deadline and a time constraints on this, so I don't think he'll be able to meet that.
Oh, you don't think so? I don't know, man. He seems to throw these things together rather quickly. But anyways, actually, all of my scratch builds I've been sticking mainly to foam board. Because I've put together some balsa kits, but I don't think I'm anywhere near the ability to scratch build with balsa. You know, create my own little formers and all that such. I don't think I'm there yet. Foam is such an easy, though, material to use. There's so many different plans out there that you can use for scratch building or even creating your own. I mean, this stuff is wonderful. If you're in this hobby and you don't know what we're talking about, my foam board, it's usually 20 by 30 inch. It's about 5 millimeter thick foam board. You can buy at Walmart, just about any store. But the best price wise is Dollar Tree foam board. And why would that be?
Because it costs $1.
Because it costs $1.
So, okay. The wing that I got from Dustin was made out of foam board.
Right.
And I have always built things out of EPP or Depron. What is the differences in these boards? Because I've noticed the foam board is, you know, a little bit more rigid and it's got that paper over it. How much harder is it to cut and paint and that kind of stuff compared to EPP or Depron?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing with EPP, as you know, it's a very soft foam. Mm-hmm. It's very large cells. There's no real support or stability or rigidity to it. So typically, anytime you build anything with EPP, EPP is great for a lot of your profiles. There are a few semi-full fuse type airplanes made out of EPP, but either way, you have to use a lot of carbon to stiffen it. Otherwise, it's just flapping in the wind.
And the price comparison to to a sheet of Dollar Tree foam. I guess before we get any further, the actual brand of the Dollar Tree foam board is Adams foam board.
Yes.
So there's kind of a difference between some of the stuff you get like at Hobby Lobby or Walmart or, you know, you get at Dollar Tree. I'm kind of particular to the Dollar Tree, the Adams foam board versus the other stuff.
No, I am too. Going back to the differences with Depron, which was used for a long time, especially used for profiles, and you can shape it as well, but it's very rigid, very brittle. So there's not a lot of mass to it. It's a very tight cellular structure of the foam.
So
it breaks real easily.
What I'm foam hearing, board, what I'm getting out of this is the foam board is kind of the best of both worlds.
Yeah, it's kind of best of both worlds.
Is that a good statement to say? Because, like I said, I've never used foam board, and I've never considered it because I was like, I don't want to use Dollar Tree foam board. Why would I want to use dollar foam when I can go buy a $30 piece of foam?
Yeah, no kidding. In this case, it truly is not, you know, you get what you pay for in the aspects of more, you know, spending more is better. It's not. It has the rigidity of Depron. Especially when you leave the paper on. I know a lot of people that build with it like to take the paper off, but you actually retain more rigidity with the paper. But it's still flexible. And the cool thing is, and I've crashed, obviously, because I love to crash. A lot of my foam board planes, when you crash them, it may crease them. It may bend them up a little bit, but it's very easy to repair. It's very easy to put back into shape, tape it back into place, and you're good to go. The other great thing with foam board is it's extremely light, like EPP, even, you know, Depron. So you're not – even with the paper on, it doesn't add that much weight to it. But it's it's extremely easy to work with. It's easy to cut. It used to be all the designs you'd see out there was mostly profile, and because it's foam board, it's just flat board. But there's some great plans out there from some designers, especially like Flight Test. These guys, they come out with great plans where these are now you're turning out full fuse planes, full airfoil wings and such. You can really shape and work this stuff, bend it. It's the work is amazing with foam board. The more people play with it, the more things you can realize you can do with it. I've seen now quadcopters and multirotors made out of foam board. The whole frame is just foam board. So, It's like the miracle material when it comes to RC, in my opinion.
Yeah, really the only thing you have to worry about is it getting wet.
Yes.
So if you're gonna have a belly lander or something like that that's gonna land on the grass, if you fly early in the morning or the afternoon and you don't treat the Dollar Tree foam board, yeah, you know what happens is the paper separates from the foam.
Now, what do you mean by treat the Dollar Tree foam board?
Well, there's a great solution to that. That one, you can paint it, do whatever to it, is treating it with Minwax polyurethane coating.
So is this an alternative to painting it?
I would.
Or can you still paint it with the Minwax?
Oh, I would paint it after the Minwax. Because if you just paint, the paint can cause the paper to peel and bubble off the foam.
Okay.
And then it's gonna come off, and then you're gonna lose all that rigidity and support. So
the Minwax will help hold the paper.
Yeah,
from pulling,
the Minwax helps bond the paper to the foam. It becomes a protective coating. It makes it waterproof. Because most of the time, most people don't take the effort of putting wheels on a foamy plane, a foam board plane. And so when you land it in the wet grass, it doesn't peel or flake anymore.
And then what are you painting over the top of the Minwax?
Krylon or just about anything, airbrush paint, hobby paint. When you do that Minwax, you need to make sure you use the oil-based version of the Minwax.
Yeah, thank you. Oil-based.
I've tried to paint that foam board, and I've been pretty successful painting it without doing the Minwax. But you have to just do super, super, super thin coats. I mean, you're holding 18 inches away and just dusting it. And once you get two or three coats of it dusting, you know, then you can put on a little bit thicker coats. But seriously, you go through about, you know, a whole can of paint for just a small area if you don't treat it first.
Yeah.
So after you treat it, you can douse it pretty good. And it's all right.
But just remember, the paint is weight, so you don't want to get too crazy with it.
Add more motor.
just add more. It's true. Just add more motor. But the Minwax is easy. I've not tried the spray form of the Minwax. I just get the can and buy a bag of those real cheap little foam brushes from Menards. It's like $1 a bag, and you get like 10 or 20 of them in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just brush that on, let it dry overnight, and then you're good to go. Awesome. If you want your plane white or any portion of it white, you'd probably want to paint it after you Minwax it, because it will dull it or turns it kind of a weird yellow color.
Grimy color.
Yeah, it's kind of a grimy. So you lose the white. So if you want to make it bright white again, you're going to have to paint it.
Okay.
And if you're not into painting, which I haven't done a lot of painting on my Dollar Tree foam board scratch builds, but like we talked about the last show, or maybe it was the show before last, the color packaging tape.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, it
goes on pretty thin, and I cover a lot of my planes with just colored packaging tape.
And that's how I covered your wing that you let me borrow, was with packaging tape. And it turned out pretty good, I think.
Yeah. It helps a little bit. It helps strengthen up the foam board a little bit, and you know, it goes on super easy. You know, the thing with me when I build a Dollar Tree foam board plane, you know, I've got $3-4 into an airframe, just in foam, and I'm not expecting it to last more than, you know, 30-40 flights at the best, because, you know, when you have an airframe that's that cheap, you tend to do things that you wouldn't do with an ARF. So
yes, you don't have as much care to it, is because, I mean, it's just an afternoon. You cut it out, put it together, and you do have a tendency to do a lot more to it that you shouldn't do.
Right.
Or even when you destroy it, it's not as heartbreaking. There was one. I can't think of who the plans came from at the moment. It's on the tip of my tongue, but it was the model of the plane. Their plans was called the Wolverine, if I'm thinking of it right. Really wicked looking pusher. And yeah, I spent a good couple of days cutting out all these pieces. It was intricate, glued it all up, taped it, whatnot. You know, it looked pretty sharp. And on its maiden flight, it went up and it lawn darted harder than I've ever seen anything dart, and it just literally just smashed it to pieces. And it's like, oh well, just build another one.
Speaking of cutting, what kind of tools do you recommend for cutting, you know, foam board or EPP or Depron or whatever you choose? As far as foam goes,
you want to have a whole slew of number 11 X-Acto knife blades, or just, you know, straight razor blades.
So yeah, I started out using razor blades, and I mean, sorry, X-Acto blades, and they're a little bit expensive. And I've just gone to the cheapest utility knife that Home Depot sells, or just a straight razor blade. Usually, you can get a pack of razor blades for, you know, pretty cheap. And on my long cuts, you know, I'll use a new blade and I'll use the corner and then flip it over, you know, when it gets dull, and use the other side. And then the center is always good for beveling edges. So,
Perfect for that.
You can get a lot of life out of just a straight razor blade. And they're a lot cheaper than X-Acto blades.
Yeah. But see, my problem, I still use the X-Actos, is because with my big hands, I seem to do better and I have more control with the handle.
Yeah.
Like a pen or a pencil, holding it like a pen or a pencil, than I do with the straight razors. The straight razors are great. It's good. I mean, they're just as sharp. But like you said, you can flip it over when the other side gets dull, so you get a bit longer life. And they are dirt cheap. But you can find the X-Acto blades pretty cheap too, especially you know, Amazon and other sites.
You know, and I guess when you start cutting out like spots for hit or for servos or you know, control horns and stuff like that, a straight razor blade's a little bit tougher to get those out with. The X-Acto knife really, really helps in those spots. So, you know, probably a good mix of either or.
Now, when you build your foam boards, foamy planes, when you do the plans, how do you do that? What's your process for you find a plan online that you want to build? You print it out.
So
what's your process?
So at work, we have a couple of big plotters.
Okay.
And so when people take those plans and they tile them and then print them off and tape them all together, usually I can print off on a plotter, and then just I have to pay for the, you know, my consumables. I have to pay for paper and ink. But, you know, I can print off a 20 by 30 sheet. I think it's like $1.50. Or you can go to Kinko's and do the same thing.
Right.
If it's a plane that has pretty straight edges, most of the time I will just figure out the dimensions myself and then draw it out with a ruler. Some of the early flight test stuff, they didn't have a lot of printable plans, but they had, you know, they shared a lot of measurements before they really got big.
Right.
And so I kind of learned how to just, I'd watch the videos and then I'd figure out the dimensions, and then I would draw them up myself on the foam board and then cut them.
Okay.
And some of the things I still do, like the wing that I let Mike use, the 40-inch wing, I've never had a set of plans. I just watched a video. That one was done by a guy. It was called Project Flight Design. And he did a whole series on wings with a KF2 step. And I use those. You know, I just found his dimensions, and then I traced them out on the foam board myself.
Okay. As I said, when you do use plans, how do you transfer your plans to foam board?
So usually what I'll do is I'll just adhere. I'll pull it straight on the actual on the foam board, and then I'll tape the edges around the bottom, and then I'll take some push pins, and if I'm going to cut a long line, I'll start at the top and I'll push pin that, and then I'll push pin the bottom so the paper doesn't wrinkle. And then I'll just make my cuts. You know, some places where you can just hold your hand down and kind of keep the paper straight, you can cut right through the paper. But between push pins and tape, that usually works pretty good. Okay. Some guys like to spray adhesive the back of your plans and then stick it to the board, but I've never tried that myself.
Yeah, I was just going to say, actually, I started doing that about a year ago. The biggest thing that I'll tell you with that is there's a lot of different spray adhesives out there, and you're almost better getting a cheaper brand that doesn't stick so well, because you want to spray just the lightest of coats, just enough to make it stick. And as soon as you spray it, stick it to the foam, because the longer you let it set before you stick it, actually creates a more permanent bond. Mm-hmm. And you want to be able to peel the plan off the foam board without peeling the paper off with it from the foam board. So my biggest thing I find is, actually, I just use it. I can't even think of the name now. It's some cheap brand I'm find at Walmart. But spray it very lightly, immediately stick it, and then once I cut out my piece, then the plan, just flick an edge of it, and it'll peel right off.
So do you cut the plans out prior, and then it just adheres to the piece? You don't put the whole sheet of plans on a piece of foam board?
Not typically. It depends. Like, if there's a lot of small, intricate pieces on a tiled sheet or whatnot, yeah, I'll just stick that whole thing onto the foam board. But otherwise, I usually cut them out of the paper first. Mm-hmm. But I also go – I cut around – wide of the cut line, so when I'm cutting, I'm actually cutting through the plan paper as well. And I think for me, it helps also keep my knife in line with it. I don't cut in, or I don't go too wide. I can keep it right on that line much better.
You don't use a straight edge or anything while you're cutting with?
For long straight lines, I'll use a straight edge. But
yeah,
No, go ahead. I was gonna say, for smaller pieces or curves, I just hold it. It's sprayed down anyway, so.
I've got a yardstick, an aluminum yardstick that I just bought at Harbor Freight, mm-hmm. that I use whenever I'm building. And then I have another metal ruler that's just an 18-inch ruler. And then I also have a 12-inch ruler that's metal, and they have that cork on the back so they don't really slide.
Yeah, that's the same one I have.
When I started using plastic or aluminum, I ended up cutting into the ruler, and then things didn't get straight. So you can get cheap metal rulers just about anywhere, and mm-hmm. they save you a lot of bad cuts.
Oh, they're nice to have. And like you said, make sure you find one that's got the cork board on the bottom side of it.
Yeah.
That way it keeps it from sliding.
All right, let's talk about some glues. What kind of glue are you guys using to glue these things together and hold your stuff together?
See, that's the other thing I like about foam board, because one, Dollar Tree foam is great foam. I think it's probably one of the better foams out there. But the glue is just as good, because it's just as cheap. Because, you know, typically foam safe, you know, CA glue is outrageously expensive for a little bitty bottle.
Yeah.
And only certain foams work with standard CA, which I prefer over foam safe. But with foam board, the best glue to work with is a hot glue gun.
Really?
Oh, heck yeah. It bonds to it. It you know, when it's hot, it kind of melts the foam just a little bit, you know, which reassures the bond that you're creating with it. It's easy to work with. It gives you time, gives you a few seconds, especially when you're trying to fit pieces or move things a little bit. It's easier to work with. You can smear it with your fingers, unless you have a 2-temp glue gun and it has high or low. I usually try to work with low, because when you do high, you get longer to work with, but it's also a lot hotter. Yeah. You end up with burn all over the tips of your fingers.
So I use the same thing I use. I have a variable temp hot glue gun too. Mm-hmm. And I usually run everything on the low temp. There's on the Dollar Tree foam board, you can kind of get away with a high temp, a little bit more.
Yep.
But here in Utah, you know, sometimes it gets up to be 100 degrees. And if you're flying low temp hot glue, sometimes you have problems.
Yes. No, that is the one drawback to that. Your glue can soften.
What about, I use Gorilla Glue, the white.
So
yeah,
Gorilla Glue works good as long as you're going to peel the paper. You know, most Gorilla Glues, you have to activate it with water.
Mm-hmm.
And so usually you don't treat your foam board prior to making your plan. I mean, I guess you could. Usually you build it and then you treat it afterwards. But I think that would be the only issue with the Gorilla Glues, is you could get your paper to bubble and peel, and then you'd have problems.
Oh, I can see that. Never thought about that.
I've never tried it. Hot glue. I mean, I use hot glue more than anything. And then
So you think the hot glue is better than the Gorilla Glue for a foam tree board?
I think so.
Yeah.
What about EPP?
Definitely not hot glue. Here's the problem with hot glue is it takes a long time to cool down.
Yeah.
So if you start melting your foam, you've got to get it wet. You've got to cool that glue right away.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, that hot glue will just melt right through an EPP foam, and you know, there's nothing you can do about it. You can't cool it down fast enough. I use a little bit of epoxy every once in a while too, depending on what it is I'm doing. Right. You know, I've got a 5-minute epoxy. You just set it up and, you know, do little bits here and a little bits there, and I've used it also.
Yeah, I've not used epoxy with my foam board. It's always just been the hot glue gun. But like you said, I use just on the low setting. The only time I really go to the high setting is when I'm making hot glue hinges.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And so, you know, I should also say the only time I really use epoxy is when I repair. Like if I have a crack in the foam board or I got a really bad crinkle and a ripple, you can take your 5-minute epoxy and you can do the same thing. You just paint it on with a foam brush, mm-hmm. and you know, it'll stiffen that paper right back up to where it was before.
Oh, that's true too.
Awesome. So what about hinging? How are you guys hinging your stuff?
Well, typically, you see, most of the time with foam board is you cut out your hinges, you'll put a 45-degree bevel mm-hmm. on the side of the hinge that will attach to the trailing edge. And you can use tape, whether you use hinge tape or the Blenderm, 3M Blenderm tape. That works really well. But I'll do that. I'll use tape. But the other thing I'll do too, like I said, is I don't cut the aileron or whatever surface all the way off. I will score it down mm-hmm. to the other side of the paper and bend it back, cut in a 45-degree in it, and then with the hot glue gun on its high setting, run a bead of hot glue right down the edge between the flap and the wing, and then with the piece of wood and smear it out as I'm glue a little bit, smear it and, you know, get a good edges. And once I get all the way down, then I move it, bend it back and forth, and you'll feel it stick, and then flex it back and forth. And then now you pretty much have a pretty indestructible hinge.
Yeah, and he still has the paper on the top side. So
yep, you still have paper on the top side.
So you're using that paper to your advantage.
It doesn't get brittle, the hot glue?
No. Mm-mm.
No.
That's the nice advantage with hot glue, is even once it cools or it dries, it's never brittle. It's always flexible to a point. And when you put it on for the hinge, you always keep it. You're smearing it out, so you're making it as thin as you possibly can.
Yeah.
And you can use your finger, but be careful because you'll burn yourself. Especially when you do it on the high setting. But it works. You want to smear it out as fast as you can and as thin as you can across the whole hinge area.
Awesome. I use the extreme packing tape, the one with the fiber, the crisscross mm-hmm. fibers.
Oh, that works perfect too.
I've had the best luck with it. It sticks good. I don't have to worry about making hot glue hinges. It sticks to everything and it's, you know, super flexible and super strong.
I like to cover the bottom of the planes with that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, that stuff is amazing. I love that stuff. I've always got that stuff on hand.
You know, TJ, when you're talking about squeegeeing the hot glue back out, I like to keep all my little scraps of my foam board as I'm cutting things out, and I'll cut those into like 1 or 2 inch squares. And then anytime I put a bead of hot glue down, I'll take a corner of the Dollar Tree foam board and then I'll just squeegee it flat. So you don't see that big lumpy and all the bubbles and everything in a seam. You just drag that Dollar Tree foam board and just kind of squeegee it all flat. And usually it flattens everything out nice. You can do the same thing with your hinges. And if you watch any of the flight test stuff, you know, that's a trick that they use a lot too, is using their scrap.
Awesome. Well, before we wrap up the show, I had a couple last things I want to hit on. One, where do you guys go to find some good plans if, you know, people wanted to join in on this build contest that we're getting going?
Okay. Well, one of my favorite places is parkjets.com. Yeah. They have a huge assortment of different plans of pusher jets, some tractors. And even now, you can find a few EDFs on there.
Yeah.
Which I have one EDF foam board jet. It's flight test. It's their Viggen. But that thing flies wicked crazy. It is a blast to fly. But there's other plans out there. There's one, an EDF I've been thinking about building. I want to say it's called the Bandit on there. Kind of looks like basically a foam board version of the Habu.
Nice.
So that's one of my favorite places. I've got a few links, and I can share those as well, that I just go to look for plans. I can't think of the names of the websites right now.
I like rcfoam.com. They've got a bunch of good ones on there as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so check that one out. What about you, Dustin? Do you have a favorite?
There's a guy, and I'll have to find the link for this. He does his YouTube channel is called Project Flight Design. And then he has a website also that has some plans. I built a couple of his things. He's got the Flinjet clone, and he's got a bunch of the wings I've built, you know, like a 30-inch, a 60-inch, a 40-inch. He's got a couple of FPV rigs. I like those. I've built a lot of the flight test stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And there's also some threads in the RC groups. There's a whole foam build, scratch build area there. And there's a ton of guys that have just done their own plans, you know, and just put those out too. So, you know, I mean, if you just go out on Google and search on scratch build, Dollar Tree foam board, any of those things, you're going to find just about any kind of plan you want.
There's a buttload of huge, huge amount of plans out there for building. And the other nice thing about what Dollar Tree foam board or whatever foam board you use, but building or designing, you have an idea yourself for a plan. Don't worry about finding plans. Just sketch it out, draw out your plans yourself. If it doesn't work, you're only out a couple dollars.
Yeah, that's one thing I really like to do too, is I just go down to the store and get a set of graphing or a pad of graph paper. Mm-hmm. And I'll just use the square, is every square is 1 inch.
Right.
And I've designed up my own stuff too, and that's pretty fun. And I use other foam too. I don't know if anybody's ever seen I'm sure everybody's seen it, the Owens Corning half inch pink foam insulation.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can buy a 4x8 sheet of that, and it's like $14. I like to make my airfoils out of that. I do a KF2 step airfoil, and I'll do the bottom as Dollar Tree, and then I'll do my airfoil as the pink foam. Or, you know, you can stack it and cut it. You can make canopies out of it. You can make fuselages out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You can make a whole wing out of it. That 48-inch wing one of the wings I borrowed Mike over this weekend, the whole thing was made from that pink foam board. And it's pretty indestructible too. It's not as easy to work with as the Dollar Tree foam board. It's a little bit harder to cut. And when the hot glue hits it, you have to use low temp because it just starts melting away.
It just eats it up. In the same way you're using the fanfold foam, the blue foam, blue core.
Yeah. I can't find that in Utah. I mean, the smallest size they sell is half inch. They don't sell the quarter inch fanfold foam anymore.
Wow. Okay.
So we do have the 2-inch stuff here in Utah, so I've actually built a hot wire cutter, and I want to some of my own stuff, but
got the hot wire, that stuff.
I built the hot wire. I've just never used it yet. So
let me know how that goes. I've always thought about it. I've never done it. I've not built one. I would like to. I'd like to try using it because you can cut some great wings and such.
Yeah.
But
I have a friend Andy, who just did the quad. We talked about doing wings forever. Hey, let's hotwire our own wings. Let's hotwire our own wings. And then summer came and he started flying. I started flying. We didn't do any more building. So, you know, maybe this winter we'll try to cut some wings.
Yeah, winter's the building season.
For sure. So, last question. Put you guys on the spot a little bit here.
Last question.
What do you guys plan on building for the contest? Is it still super secret squirrel project stuff, or do you have any ideas yet?
I don't.
Wow.
No, actually, I do. I think I have a couple ideas.
Time's a ticking.
I have a couple of ideas too, and I'm kind of particular to the style of plane I like to fly. I like when I scratch build, I build. It seems like everything I build has a KF2 step on it. Mm-hmm. I just like that airfoil, and so
it's a great wing for foam board.
I got a couple ideas. I have one that I built a while ago. I might try to revisit. When it comes to making it look cool and painting and stuff like that, that's where I'm a total doofus. I can't make anything look good, you know.
Well, Dustin, what you need to do is do what I plan on doing. I'm going to build and put it together, and then I'm sending it over to Mike Castillo. I'm going to have him paint it up for me.
That's an automatic disqualification.
Don't tell Mike, though.
I won't tell Mike. Nice. Can you get me his address?
Yeah, I've got it because I've sent him barbecue sauce, so he owes me.
Nice.
Well, I could paint it for you, Dustin.
Yeah.
Dustin, you've seen his ideas. Don't. No.
Yeah, crayons add a lot of weight.
Blue painter's tape.
Sweet. Yeah, I've got a couple ideas myself. Mine will, of course, from my flying style as well, I know what direction I'll be going, and it'll definitely be a 3D plane. And I just can't decide. There's two of them that I'm looking at right now that I'm eyeballing. Mm-hmm. One's a Katana and one's an Ultimate. So
cool.
There that is, so that you know what you're up against.
Oh, I was going to build a Katana also.
I've always liked the look of the Katanas, how the wings come back onto the fuse. And it'll be a profile wing. The plans that I've got, it'll be a profile wing, and then it'll be an actual full fuse body, fuselage.
Why don't you send me some pictures of it? And I'm just kidding. I wasn't going to build a Katana.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I don't think you know how to fly 3D. All right, you guys got anything else to add?
No, I'm good.
All right, well, get out there and build some planes. Join our contest. We want to get a bunch of entries in this. It'll be a lot of fun.
Right on. I'm excited.
You Woo-hoo! Sound excited.
I'm super excited.
Thank you very much for tuning into this week's episode of RC Hangar Time. Remember to help spread the word. You can find us on the web at www.rchangartime.com or just do a Facebook search for RC Hangar Time. We enjoyed having you. We just hope you enjoyed being had. And remember, have fun, be safe out there. We look forward to seeing you again next week.